Jimmy Nail, which is more about undertaking than medicine, and Spare Us the Cusser by Echo and the Bunnymen to start the hour on the theme tomorrow of medicine. Three new crew members arrived at the International Space Station yesterday after record-breaking speedy flights to the orbiting lab. The Russian Soyuz MS-17 spacecraft carrying NASA astronauts Kate Rubins and two Russian cosmonauts docked with the space station at 4:48 a.m., just 3 hours and 3 minutes after lifting off from the Baikonur Cosmodrome in Kazakhstan on a Soyuz rocket. That's pretty good, isn't it? I mean, sometimes it takes 3 hours, 3 minutes to get from Nice to Monaco in the morning. By coincidence, the rocket launched on Rubin's birthday. She was 42 yesterday, prompting congratulations from Russian flight controllers at the Roscosmos Agency's Mission Control. Typically, it takes about 6 hours for a Soyuz spacecraft to chase down the International Space Station, and the Soyuz must complete around four orbits around the Earth, but the Soyuz MS-17 made it in only two orbits, making it the first crewed Soyuz spacecraft to try the fast-track rendezvous method. Russia's previously tested the two-orbit rendezvous method with its Progress cargo resupply spacecraft, which is nearly identical to the Soyuz spacecraft used to transport crew. So far, five Progress missions have used the new two-orbit rendezvous method to reach the space station. The fastest Progress flight so far, Progress 70, arrived at the space station 3 hours and 48 minutes after liftoff in July 2018. And interestingly, I had a really, really fascinating email from somebody. I won't mention his name, but he is actually going to go to the International Space Station.
Yes.
Hopefully, he's going to come in for a chat and tell us all about it. But until he gives the OK, I will not reveal all his details. Here's Michael Kiwanuka. Where are we going? 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s,
no,
2000s?
We're doing a bit of everything this morning. We shall see. Question number one. It was on this day in 1988 that UB40 went to number one in the US singles chart with their version of which Neil Diamond song?
Red Red Wine.
Correct.
Which has been requested by Martin tomorrow because he says that's the best medicine.
Okay. You could have whiskey in a jar, couldn't you?
You could have whiskey in a jar.
Question number two. In Bohemian Rhapsody, Freddie Mercury plays on the very same piano used by Paul McCartney for which Paul McCartney song?
It's got to be a fairly early McCartney track, hasn't it?
Yeah.
A McCartney song, not a Beatles song.
Well, yes, Beatles, sorry.
Hey, Jude.
Yes, well done. I knew you'd get that if I gave
trick
that away.
Question.
And did you know that in 1996, Ringo Starr appeared in a Japanese advert for what? 1996? This is just a little extra question.
Sushi.
No, apple sauce, which is what Ringo
apple
means.
Apple sauce.
Which is what Ringo means in Japanese.
It does ring a bell, actually. He should have advertised the Ringos, shouldn't he? The crisps.
The crisps. They
no
were good
Ringos
crisps.
Like a Ringo goes.
And finally, on this day in 2000, U2 went to number one on the UK charts, single charts, rather, with which song?
2000?
Yeah.
Gosh. Number one?
Yeah.
In the UK?
Yes.
It's a Beautiful Day.
Well done. Yeah. It was the group's fourth UK number one single, and it was, of course, taken from their album All That You Can't Leave Behind.
To try and find it now.
I think that was three out of three, wasn't it?
It was a hat trick. I wasn't going to say anything, but, you
just
know.
Just being modest.
Hasn't happened for quite a while. Life in the Old Dog Yet.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, I know you're disappointed because you didn't get named in the Queen's Honours List, but, you know, maybe next year.
Only a matter of time. Only a matter of time, one would suspect.
Yeah, and you're still out for a medal from Prince Albert.
Well, listen, if it's felt that my work over the past two decades has created and helped the community and provided a public service, I'm sure it'll be recognised at some point.
You could be in line for a guided tour of Monaco Jail if you don't watch it.
I mean, you've got one, so, I mean, it does tell me something a little bit about it.
Got one? What?
Haven't you? Yeah. You've been up to the palace?
I have.
Got your medal? Very nice. Where do you store it?
Sorry, I keep it in a drawer, actually, in my bedroom.
Oh, very nice. Under your pillow.
Sometimes it comes with a little pin I sometimes wear if I wear a suit.
Oh, lovely.
Which is okay. Nice. You know, Monaco colours and all that.
Very smart.
Okay, markets. Well, you know, as coronavirus alerts again and hopes of a new stimulus deal in the US seem to be fading.
Exactly right. US equities drifting lower yesterday after Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin played down the chances of striking a stimulus deal before the election. Quite frankly, it seems all but very unlikely that's likely in that time frame likely to happen. Still very much on the agenda, something we'll be talking about in 2021, and will be determined, of course, by who forms the next administration. We did see record virus numbers being announced yesterday, and of course, tighter restrictions across France and elsewhere across Europe, likely to infringe upon the recovery. Banks were under pressure on Wall Street yesterday, this after Wells Fargo reported a 56% plunge in profits and warned that net interest income could be a little bit softer as you look through next year. Good numbers actually came from Goldman Sachs, benefiting from a surge in trading revenue, particularly in bonds. All four of its major divisions announcing an improvement. Merger and acquisition activity helped the energy sector, also benefiting from a rise in prices due to the weaker dollar and signs of improving demand coming through from China and India. At the close, the S&P 500 was down 0.6%. NASDAQ was down 0.8%. That weakness is going to put us in the red at the start in Europe this morning, where we're currently calling the FTSE down 33 points. DAX over in Frankfurt down 97 points. CAC corner Paris off 36 points.
Lord Potts of Cobham.
That would work quite nicely. You would be, what, Lord Bobby, Sir Bob, I don't think you'd be, yeah, Lord Bobby of Croydon.
You could sit next to Ian Botham in the House of Lords, couldn't you?
It's weird that Ian Botham thing, isn't it? Yeah, strange.
Services rendered, etc., etc.
Yes.
Right, talking about Parliament and Keir Starmer pressing home the advantage yesterday during Prime Minister's questions, and a new poll about whether the British public would be okay with the new lockdown showed 68% in favour. So Boris Johnson is batting on a sticky wicket, isn't he, really?
Well, I mean, for many governments, the thing is trying to convince the public that it's necessary, that you need to put in tighter restrictions once again, that you need to stop the bars, the restaurants, the nightclubs from opening, and you're going to infringe upon people's civil liberties. But in the UK, there seems to be some demand for it, which is a little bit strange, a little bit contrary to actually places where you do see the lockdowns being imposed, where there seems to be some broad-based contention shining through, basically. So, yeah, and they're likely to be extended. And I think Sadiq Khan is talking later today about potentially what that means for a London lockdown as well. So we're certainly moving closer to much tighter restrictions here in the UK, as you've been seeing in with Paris and I think it was eight other cities in France.
Yeah,
they?
Well, this is, you know, there does seem to be a possibility of growing civil unrest as a result of this, which is the last thing we need, really.
It is the last thing we need. Listen, I think the first lockdown that we did see, it was kind of novel for people. The weather was still good. I think the feeling in the UK, I don't know about elsewhere, is looking, it's darker, it's colder, it's harder to manage the children, and the thought of another lockdown would seem very difficult, but it may well be necessary.
You've never been very good at managing the children anyway, have you, really?
I was saying to someone, it's been quite hard being a stay-at-home dad, and Mrs. Potts said, well, you're a dad that stays at home.
Yeah.
But I don't think we can call you a stay-at-home dad just yet.
Okay, and talking about Mr. Johnson, he has got a lot on his plate. There's this EU summit in Brussels taking place today, and he's signalled that he's still not happy with what the EU is offering, but some suggestions that Germany is trying to lean on France a bit over fisheries.
Yeah, not happy, but certainly not walking away just yet. European Council summit taking place today. It was hoped, of course, EU heads of state, as I said before, would be receiving a draft and of the UK-EU trade agreement. Unfortunately, talks have not progressed to that point. As negotiators continue to clash over the likes of fisheries and state aid. Despite the slow progress, still think a deal is achievable. In fact, probably could go further than that. I'd say it's likely, but certainly not inevitable. It's like to be a focused one on goods. It's in everyone's interest to do a deal. I mean, fisheries is such a strange stumbling block, it seems to
me. Well, it's a political issue, isn't it? I mean, it's not an economic issue, seeing as it only accounts for 0.07% of the UK economy, but it's a political issue.
Yeah, and you should also remember the UK sells the majority of its cat into the European Union, so there are incentives for a deal to be done. I think we're looking for a breakthrough. What would signal that breakthrough? Negotiators moving into the negotiation tunnel sounds all exciting, doesn't it? Where they would flesh out the final details. There has been some noise about this possibility of a mini deal that would only focus on the elimination of tariffs and allowing some frictionless trade across the borders to try and ease some of the some of the congestion that's likely to take place as a result of that. So remains to be seen if we get to that point. But the hope is, of course, a broader deal will be announced. But we are moving, of course, to the final phase. Boris Johnson's deadline is kind of mid-October, so it wasn't exactly... It has to be done by the European Council.
Well, it was today,
summit,
really, wasn't it?
But it was, you know, de facto these next couple of days. But he said he'd watch to see what comes from it and take it from there.
I think a lot of people would sort of rather hope that they go into the tunnel and never come out the other side again.
It's very true.
Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against the dollar coming in at 1.30 this morning. Euro dollar coming in at 1.17.5. Going to get 1 euro 10.5 cents for your British pound this morning.
Talk to you on Friday.
Have a good day.
You too. Hank Potson Barclays.
This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyce has the top stories across the Riviera.
French President Emmanuel Macron has announced new restrictions in the fight against the spread of the coronavirus in France. Speaking on French television on Wednesday evening, Macron launched a message of hope and indicated that he wanted to be transparent, both on what we know about COVID-19 and previous failures from the government in the management of the health crisis. The state of the health emergency, which ended on July the 10th, will be reintroduced throughout France from October the 17th. Tighter measures will be introduced from Saturday the 17th, with a curfew from 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. being introduced in Paris, Grenoble, Lille, Lyon, Aix-Marseille, Montpellier, Rouen, Saint-Étienne and Toulouse, affecting some 20 million people. The curfew is expected to last at least 4 weeks, with the head of state warning that he would like the measure extended to 6 weeks until December the 1st. As far as the number of cases are concerned, Macron confirmed that there are currently 20,000 daily new cases, with the government aims to bring down to between 3 and 5,000. 32% of patients are currently in intensive care, which the government also aims to bring down to between 10 and 15%. Exceptions will be made for people to circulate in the cities under curfew with proof of a valid reason. Failure to provide documented proof will result in a fine of 135 euros. However, cinemas, theatres, restaurants and other businesses will have to close. There'll be no restrictions on public transport or travelling between regions, with people able to travel for the holiday period. Although barrier gestures and wearing a mask must be respected at all times, the French are advised to limit private gatherings to 6 people. Partial unemployment at 100% will be reintroduced for sectors in difficulty, such as hotels, cafes, restaurants, tourism, events, culture and sport, until the end of the year. And there will be an exceptional aid of 150 euros, with an additional 100 euros per child for those on welfare benefit. There was no call for companies to set up working remotely, as was the case during the national lockdown, for fear of re-isolating people. The president said everyone must be present as much as possible. However, we do encourage people for jobs where it's relevant to do 2 or 3 days of telework per week. A new version of the Stop COVID application will be launched on October the 22nd under the name Tous Anti-COVID, and self-tests will soon be available. French Prime Minister Jean Castex is to hold a press conference at 2 p.m. today to unveil further details. In other news, the Nice prosecutor has announced that 5 victims of Storm Alex, which hit the Alt-Maritime on Friday, October the 2nd, have been returned to their families after formal identification. To date, the provisional death toll of those missing in the disaster now stands at 13. Meanwhile, the city council in Nice has offered a job to Jojo, a 52-year-old homeless man from Nice who has given all his savings to the victims of Storm Alex. Jojo, who sleeps on the steps of the Museum of Modern and Contemporary Art in Nice, where he earns a small income from selling the newspaper Solidarité 06, says the job offer is the beginning of a new life for him. After the passage of Storm Alex and the Alt-Maritime, Jojo wanted to make a contribution and donated his savings of 150 euros. The French government has unveiled a national plan to combat hatred and discrimination against lesbian, gay, bisexual and transgender people, with emphasis on the importance of inclusive education in stamping out homophobia. The 3-year plan was unveiled on Wednesday and aims to make members of the LGBT community citizens in their own right. Finally, a rare Allosaurus skeleton has sold at a Paris auction house for 3 million euros. Standing 11 feet high and 33 feet long, the figure is one of the largest of its species ever discovered. The Allosaurus, known as the grandfather of the T-Rex, roamed the Earth around 150 million years ago. It comes 1 week after another historic dinosaur sale. Stan the T-Rex fetched nearly $32 million at Christie's auction house, smashing initial estimates and setting a record for the most expensive dinosaur fossil ever sold.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
Footballer Harry Maguire's problems have intensified after he was sent off during England's 1-0 home defeat at the hands of Denmark in last night's Nations League game. Here are the details from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Paul Serres at the BBC Sports Centre. Denmark beat England 1-0 in the UEFA Nations League at Wembley. The BBC's football correspondent John Murray reports.
This was England's first defeat at Wembley for over 2 years, and the match swung decisively Denmark's way either side of the half hour. First, Harry Maguire was sent off for a second bookable challenge, and within 3 minutes England conceded a rather soft penalty. Christian Eriksen marked his 100th appearance for Denmark by scoring from it. England's 10 men twice came close to drawing level. Schmeichel saved well from Mount, Cody's header hit defender Kjær, and there was a second sending off of the night for England after the final whistle when, on his full debut, Reece James was shown a red card for dissent.
Elsewhere in the Nations League, two goals from Liverpool's summer signing Diogo Jota and the other from Manchester City's Bernardo Silva saw Portugal beat Sweden 3-0 in Lisbon. Manchester United's Donny van de Beek scored for the Dutch as they drew 1-1 with Italy, while Newcastle United's Ryan Fraser got the only goal of the game as Scotland beat the Czech Republic 1-0 at Hampden. Premier League clubs have unanimously agreed that Project Big Picture will not be endorsed or pursued. The plans proposed by Liverpool and Manchester United involved reducing the Premier League from 20 to 18 clubs and scrapping the EFL Cup and Community Shield. In addition, the English Football League would have received 25% of all future TV deals, plus a $325 million bailout. BBC Sports' Simon Stone says we can expect these proposals to be reshaped and revisited.
The architects of this will argue that some of the statements that are coming out of the Premier League tonight in terms of a separate rescue package for the football family, as they put it, going forward, and a review of the English football model have only come out because Project Big Picture has been floated over the last 3 or 4 days and created such a stir. So they don't see it as being dead at all. They see it as being the start of a dialogue.
And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Yeah, seeing the results last night, France were 2-1 away winners in Croatia in Group A3. Norway beat Northern Ireland 1-0 in Group B1. Scotland's excellent run of form continued with a 1-0 win over the Czech Republic in Group B2. Finland beat the Republic of Ireland 1-0 in Group B4. And Wales had a great 1-0 away win in Bulgaria, also in Group B4. Rugby Union, 4 Wasps players have tested positive for COVID-19 ahead of the Premiership final against Exeter on October the 24th. 3 members of the coaching staff have also tested positive, but the club says all are in good overall health. Training has been cancelled for the rest of the week as a precaution. And in cycling, Arnaud Démare of France has won his 4th stage in this year's Giro d'Italia, with victory at the end of the 182-kilometre ride from Porto Sant'Apellido to Rimini. Démare won stage 11 in a sprint finish, with João Almeida of Portugal retaining the overall lead with a 34-second advantage over Wilco Kelderman of the Netherlands. Démare is the first Frenchman to win 4 stages of the same race since Bernard Hinault in 1982.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Oyster, the world's finest blue water sailing yachts. Oyster Yachts, beyond expectation.
Four coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Almara Sea in the Var. The general situation is a depression 1,006 millibars over the Ligurian Sea and a depression 1,009 millibars over the Gulf of Valencia. Winds are variable, force 2 to 4. The sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,006 millibars. And the outlook for Friday, partially cloudy, force 2 to 4, variable winds, slight seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are southwesterly, force 3 to 5, picking up to force 6. The sea is moderate, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,005 millibars. And the outlook for Friday, clear skies, force 3 to 5, southwesterly winds, slight seas and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Oyster, the world's finest blue water sailing yachts. Oyster Yachts, beyond expectation.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Servibat, the home closing specialist in Nice and Villefranche.
Partially cloudy today, light variable winds, top temperatures 18 or 19 degrees. Overnight lows 13 degrees on the coast, 9 degrees inland with partially cloudy skies. Friday and the start of the weekend, partially cloudy, highs of 18 or 19 degrees.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Servibat Nice and Villefranche. For 30 years, specialising in home closures, windows, blinds, shutters, reinforced glazing and doors. Feel good at home. Visit servibat06.fr.
Finally,
a new study has claimed that the moon's once powerful magnetic field helped shield Earth and its developing atmosphere from powerful solar storms 4 billion years ago. Ooh. Researchers led by James Green, NASA's chief scientist, have created computer models simulating the protective impact the moon once had over Earth. They concluded that the combined magnetic fields of both the moon and the Earth sheltered the Earth from developing atmosphere before the moon's magnetism waned. That's according to the conclusion.
Morning, Wayne.
This protective and previously unrecognised buffer prevented Earth's early atmosphere from eroding when this young sun stirred up violent space weather, which would otherwise have burnt our planet's surface to a crisp.
Gosh.
And did you know that the moon is slowly...
Yes.
..slowly drifting away from us?
I thought it was getting closer.
No, at a rate of about a single inch.
I thought Earth's magnetic pull, gravitational pull, was pulling the moon closer towards us.
Apparently not. 2.5 centimetres every year.
Well, I got that the wrong way around then, haven't I? Ooh. You're up to date. The news is on the website, rivieraradio.mc. Medicine. Sounds like you could do with some.
Why? It's not a Monday morning
just
yet.
Just off the cuff remark. All things to do with medicine, the theme for Feel Good Friday. Alex says, The Rolling Stones, Mother's Little Helper. Oh, that's a good one. Marcin says, Eric Clapton, Cocaine. Does that have any medical uses? I suppose so, but so, well, all right, we'll let it in. Fiona says, Alanis Morissette's Jagged Little Pill, or You Learn. Sam says, The Rolling Stones, Dear Doctor. Lorraine says, Medicine Head, Rising Sun. Pam says, Steely Dan, Dr. Wu. And Claire says, Big Audio Dynamite, Medicine Show. All good stuff. Studio at RivieraRadio.mc. This is new from Porridge Radio. That's what they're called. 7 seconds.